Hello, and welcome to this special episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today, we welcome Antoinette McQueenie. Antoinette is an homeopath specializing in women's hormonal health, menstrual educator, lecturer at the Helsinki School of Homeopathy, and facilitator of online and in-person courses since 2010. And Antoinette is also mom of three healthy wild children who've never had or needed antibiotics, steroids, or Calpol and Tylenol. So welcome, welcome, Antoinette.
Matilda, thank you so much for having me on here. I'm a big fan of your podcast since I only came across it not that long ago. And yeah, delighted to be here.
Oh, that's great. So we've known each other for a while. We've known each other as moms first, and then I've discovered the world of homeopathy, and it has opened my eyes. I've recently been part of your course, the course that you've done on the homeopathy at home, which was absolutely an eye-opener on so much, and on the power of homeopathy and how it can really support us in life. And knowing that you specialize in the whole menstrual cycle and the womb healing and the hormonal health, that is so, so important for us women. It's such a big part of our life. And as daughters of narcissistic mothers, we might not have received the guidance that we needed. I know I got hospitalized when I got my first cycle because they thought it was appendicitis. And then I was brought to the gynecologist because I was not developing a big breast. And so my grandmother thought it would be a good idea to put me on the pill so that my breast would grow bigger. And like all these things that just we've been told since we were young and conditioned to feel some kind of shame, level of shame around our cycle. And all of that fuels the level of discomfort that we do go through each cycle. So I'm gonna give the floor to you and hear what you have to say about this.
Okay, it's massive. It's a massive topic, isn't it? And I think our menstrual health is a huge indicator of our overall health, not just our physical, much more so maybe our mental and emotional health. And I think there's very little education around menstrual cycles in general. So what we're getting from our mothers is only what they knew, you know, and they probably didn't have a whole lot of knowledge about this themselves. Even when I went to school, and Matilda, maybe for yourself as well, the menstrual cycle wasn't really covered. And in medicine, the clitoris was only mapped in the 90s. It was like they just suddenly discovered the clitoris in the 90s. That's only 30 years ago. So there's a lot of there's a lack of information and there's a lot of misinformation. And what we grow up with and the cues that we're getting, they're not just the things we're being told, but what we're seeing has a huge bearing on how we enter our menstrual cycle, how we enter our menstrual journey, and how it progresses. So for somebody who has always seen her mother maybe hiding menstrual products and not talking about it, or maybe saying it's you know, it's dirty, or it's something that we don't tell the boys about, we don't tell your father about, we have to keep this hidden. So when women then start their own periods, they're carrying that shame with them. And it's one of the first questions I always ask women who come to me with menstrual disorders, you know, what was your first period like and how did you feel? And a lot of women actually felt that they were dying because it was a total shock. They suddenly just saw blood. So that's not a great way to start this process. It's going to last about 35 years to think you're dying. Or maybe somebody doesn't feel that they're ready to grow up. And I know when I was little, when we got our periods, you were told, oh, you're a woman now. And an 11 and a 12-year-old does not want to be told they're a woman now. So there is this, we try to stay small in ourselves. And just what you were saying yourself, maybe you weren't developing, maybe you just weren't emotionally ready to develop as well as physically. And then there's other people who maybe feel that daddy always wanted a boy. You know, girls weren't really wanted in this household. They were seen as useless and not able to do the work and whatever. And that can have an impact on things like polycystic ovaries and endometriosis and lots. It's huge. It's so big. And then the only solution in medicine is go on the pill for whatever the disorder is. You know, the periods are too late coming, go on the pill. Periods are too heavy, go on the pill. The periods are irregular, go on the pill. So there's a big lack, and there's a lack of information in medicine as well about all of this. And then as we get older, things that happen to us can impact our menstrual cycle as well. So maybe we've had very poor sexual experiences or terrible birthing experiences, and all of that stuff is held if it's not expressed. And we're not encouraged to express this thing. It's, you know, it's just something that women have to get up and get on with. And or maybe if it's a terrible birth we've just had, we're told, well, you have a healthy baby now, so off you go. And you're not encouraged to speak about this trauma that you've experienced. So the trauma doesn't go anywhere. Wherever it's coming from, whether it's way back with your mother being ashamed of her own menstrual stuff, or it's more recent from a poor sexual experience, it's just stuck down in the body and it rebounds around and it creates all these symptoms in the menstrual cycle. And symptoms like painful periods or maybe PMS and all of these, they're just signals. They're signals to us that there's something going on here. And they're signals that reoccur every single month. And it's just the body asking for help. And we can ignore it. We can keep taking hormonal medicines, or we can fill ourselves up with painkillers and we can push through, and lots of people do that, or we can address it. And homeopathy is just one of the ways that we can address it.
Yeah,
That's the answer. Short
that is a
question.
brilliant answer, and it covers it all. And oh, there was so many points that I can feel that my own experience just comes up, and like, oh yeah, I've been through that and through that and through that, and I know so many clients and so many listeners have been through so much of that and not being able to speak about it, and the way that is always labeled as, oh, you're just being hormonal. You know, like you're just being irrational because you're in that time of the month. And we also tend to apologize very often. We've learned, we've been conditioned to go, oh, I'm so sorry if I've been irrational, or I'm so sorry if I'm being too emotional. It's just that time of the month. And what I found personally in my own work and discovery is that actually, in that time of the month, we are way more intuitive. And those emotions, as you mentioned, that trauma that is stored inside in those few days, the just before the cycle and then during the cycle, it actually wants to come out. And if we don't listen, it comes out messy, like very, very messy. And when we learn to be with that and we learn to listen, then we start actually becoming aware of the messages that are in that. And I'm curious to hear if, like, does homeopathy, is that a way that homeopathy can help? Is there something that homeopathy can do within that?
Absolutely. So what came into my head there was when you were speaking was I treated a woman a few years ago, and she described her periods as this awful pulling sensation and having no control over it. And so this was 30 years into having her periods, and the worst pain she'd ever experienced in her life. She felt unseen, she felt abused, she felt humiliated, embarrassed. And I said to her, when is the first time you started to feel like that? And she said, when her baby was born 30 years ago. She was reliving a birth experience from 30 years ago. And this came back to her every single month, when she got her period. And so this is how she was experiencing her period. It was like a rebirth. It was like rebirthing her child. And we did the remedy I gave her was actually rose quartz. And I mentioned this to you before we came live. And we have like 6,000 remedies. This is just, it's just one. It's just one. And rose quartz is a remedy for huge trauma and guilt and shame that has been held inside the body. And hers went back longer. It went back before this baby. This was just how it was being expressed physically in her when she gave birth. But she had been carrying this a long time. And she was the responsible child in her family. There was a lot of dysfunction in her family, and she became, her father was abusive. Her mother played quite a passive role, and she became her mother's confidant. Rather than the child, she was, the friend, the person that all these ideas were bounced off and all these terrible stories were bounced off. So she, her role was not of a daughter in the family. Her role was the peacekeeper and the confidant, like I said. And this just developed and it snowballed until she had her baby. And then this awful birth, and then 30 years of terrible menstrual issues after it. So rose quartz fit that case perfectly. It's not going to fit every single case. And it's a gem, rose quartz is the gemstone. It's a beautiful pink gemstone. And it's the gemstone for people who have been so traumatized in life that their heart is shut down a little bit. And they've kind of folded in on themselves and they're holding all their trauma there, keeping it warm. And then it's being expressed every 28 days or whatever, because it's not gone away. And when we take that beautiful remedy, rose quartz, it helps us to stand up straight and shine our heart energy. And it opens up the heart chakra again. And there's a huge connection between the heart chakra and the womb, but also the heart chakra womb and the mind. So what goes on in one of those three will affect the other two. And in a matter of 8 weeks, her menstrual symptoms had completely resolved, completely. So she wasn't reliving this trauma every single time. She had her period and the stuff with her family. She was able to, we didn't even have to do any work on it. It just dissolved. It just became something that was part of her, but it wasn't her identity. It was her story. It was her history. So that's one of the ways that homeopathy can help. But sometimes it is not that quick. But for her, it was really, really quick. Sometimes there are issues that have been going on 20 years and become structural, like endometriosis or polycystic, and they take longer. But we always go back to the root. And we always go back to childhood and see where did this stuff start. And sometimes we don't know. We can't say for sure this definitely started here, but we can see patterns that are repeated again and again. And especially on a monthly basis. And I suppose you're talking about also we tend to apologize for when we're being irrational or whatever. This is the only part, the premenstrual phase is really the only part of the cycle that's recognized anywhere. And it's demonized. It's when women become, like you said, irrational or bitches or whatever. And it's just because we have been holding everything so tightly for the previous 3 weeks. And we've been putting up with stuff that is not acceptable. And then when we get that blast of progesterone just towards our period, it all comes out. And yeah, it can come out a little harsh and a little critical, but it's really because we've suppressed our desires for the previous 3 weeks and we've taken it on and then it just comes out. It's our time, that premenstrual time is really important because it's when we rebalance everything in our lives, when we put things back into order. And if that's shut down with birth control or whatever, we don't get this balance. We become this kind of flat doormat the whole time who just takes and takes and takes. So our premenstrual time is very important, and it's a time when we need to start resting, and we kind of plan ahead for our menstruation when we have very little energy. So we have this kind of heightened sense during premenstrual time. I have to get this done, I have to get that done, I have to get the other, I have to get the fridge full of pre-packed stuff. I have to finish all these deadlines because we know that our energy is going to drop for about 7 days. So there's this drive to finish things. But it's so powerful and so empowering. And it's a great time if somebody has, like I said, a deadline to complete because we get on with things. We're very focused. Or say we have to compete in something. We get that extra drive towards the end of our cycle before we start a new one. But unfortunately, for some people, it goes a bit out of control because the rest of their life, there's something going on. There's something that they've been putting up with for the other 3 weeks that really needs to be addressed. And when we don't address it, it just comes out kind of awkward and not very pleasant. But it's just a symptom. It's just a sign that other things need to be addressed when we have this rage, the rage before our period. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that okay?
Oh, perfectly. Makes a lot of sense. The invitation that I know when I'm working with women, but it's something that I first and foremost experience with myself, is like to that phase is so important, as you mentioned, that is really key to gather that information. So if it goes out of whack, slow down and feel into why is it out of whack? What's out of whack? It's not just you being irrational or hormonal. There's a truth underlying that frustration or that heightened emotionality. There's something there that might be to do with your current situation, or it might also be to do with triggers from the past and from your childhood and stuff like that. And the things can all be tied in together. But it is really important to actually slow down and feel into that. I do remember you've mentioned the birth control and the pill. Thankfully, when I was told to get the pill because of my breast being too small, I was only 11 at the time, and they did buy me the little box, and I remember being by myself in my bedroom and reading the leaflet on it. I don't know what wisdom came in that time, because I was very much by myself, but reading the leaflet and going, I'm not taking this, and I threw it in the bin because it was just really scary, the effects that I was reading. But later on, when I was about 18 or so, I went back and I did get the pill for about 2 years, because I was in a relationship and it seemed like to make a lot of sense. So, you know, there was no risk getting pregnant and all of that at that time. And I didn't have any guidance from my family on any of that. So, but I do remember what you just mentioned, that absolute flatness, like that, like there was no, like, I know now how our life is cyclical and our rhythms are cyclical, and that's not just women that are cyclical, but definitely we are so connected to the cycles, our own body cycles, the moon cycles. It's just so important, and it all had gone flat, and yet I had to get off it after 2 years because my moods had gone crazy. I was a horrible person to be around, and not just for a week of the month, for the whole month, like every month, I was just really horrible to be around. And that stopped the minute I thankfully decided to stop. But so again, I just want to share this just in case this is an experience that someone resonates with. And also I want to hear your take on that. If there's anything that can be done with that. And even after that, for people that have stopped taking it like me, is there like a detox that we need to go through, or, you know?
Yeah. So first of all, at 11 years of age, you were sitting reading side effects of contraceptive, oral contraceptives. That is incredible. Yes. So well done you. That's huge. I took oral contraceptives myself, and I had a patch as well. And I had the morning after pill maybe once or twice, but during all of that time, I probably took contraceptives on and off for about 10 years. Never, never once were side effects mentioned to me. Never. I never got a leaflet explaining side effects. And to be honest, if I was given a leaflet in my 20s, knowing so little about the menstrual cycle, if I was given a leaflet about side effects, I probably wouldn't have even read it, because it meant very little to me. I was only on taking contraceptives to avoid getting pregnant. And I did not know how that worked. I hadn't a clue. I just took my little pill like a good girl, and that was it. And it was only years later, when I was treating women, and I started off as general homeopath, so I was treating a lot of children, and I was seeing their mothers bringing them in, and the mothers just had this flatness to them. And I remember one woman just sitting looking out the window, and she could barely even talk to me. She was zoned out completely, and I was trying to treat her child. And eventually I asked the mum to come and get treated herself, because I couldn't figure out what this disconnect in this woman was. She was doing her best. She had brought her child for treatment, but then was zoning out. And when she came to me, I realized she had a coil in, because she'd had very heavy periods, but she was also on the pill, because the coil, neither one was working on its own. Her menstrual system, her menstrual cycle was really deranged. So she was getting two forms of contraceptive every single day. And that's what created this flatness. When we have a natural a natural cycle, and you probably know this, but maybe somebody listening doesn't fully grasp it. We have all these different hormones at play, and for the first half of our cycle, and our cycle runs from day one, which is the first day we start bleeding, right up until the day before our next period. So you might have a 28-day cycle or 29-day cycle or whatever, but day one is the day you start bleeding. For the first part of your cycle, a natural cycle, we get a little bit more estrogen produced in our body every single day. And then for the second half of the cycle, after ovulation, right up to the period again, we get progesterone, which is a different type of hormone. Estrogen makes us, to simplify it, estrogen makes us happy and horny, so we can get pregnant if we want to. It also makes us very creative, because having a womb and a menstrual cycle isn't about just making babies. It's about gifting ideas and creating ideas and birthing ideas. The second half of the cycle, we get this progesterone, and that keeps our mood from dipping, and we don't get these rages, and we don't get these really deep, deep lows. And if we have those two natural hormones in proper balance, we don't get these awful dips coming up to the premenstrual phase. But if we're on a medically controlled, if we have a medically controlled cycle, which is taking birth control in any form, then we get a synthetic version of both of those hormones, and we get a tiny amount every single day. So they suppress our natural hormones. We're given a synthetic version instead. Our pituitary gland has sent this message to say, stop ovulation. People don't even realize that they're not ovulating when they're on birth control. I get quite annoyed about this. It's so big. Ovulation is so important, because it's not just about creating an egg so we can get pregnant. It's about thyroid health. It's about bone health. It's about brain function. It's about mood balancing. And when we're not ovulating every single month, we are overriding all of those natural healing benefits in our body. All the things that we are struggling with when we come into perimenopause: thyroid issues, bone density depletion, moods, anxiety, all of that. But all of this natural system that we have shut down for years and years, and we ovulate throughout the menstrual cycle. We probably ovulate around 400 times, 400 to 480 times. It's a lot that we're getting rid of. So when we shut all of that down, then we get the problems in perimenopause, like the fibromyalgia and the low bone density and all of that sort of stuff. So when people come to me, they're generally finished birth control, because I always explain to people, there's no point in me just going giving this medicine to people. I have to explain, and I have to educate people. And it's not just for the person in front of me, it's for them, so they can tell their daughters and their sons, not just their daughters, but how this stuff works. And I understand some people need to be on birth control because they're not maybe in safe relationships. But going on birth control to fix a period is never going to work. And going on birth control just to prevent pregnancy is something we need to be told more about, because we can only get pregnant for about 5 days in the month anyway. Really, the egg that's released is only viable for 24 hours in the body. The reason we can get pregnant for 5 days every month is because sperm can live for up to 5 days in the vaginal canal. So it can be waiting for an opportunity. It's just waiting for this beautiful egg to be released, and boom, it's in there. So for 5 days only, there is a window for getting pregnant. And for those 5 days, women are staying on birth control for 10, 15, 20 years. Sometimes they're not even in relationships anymore. But it's just kind of easier to stay taking this thing rather than stopping. And doctors will recommend that as well. Stay on, it's fine, it's fine, it's not doing anything. The problem is, when we stop taking birth control, it can be hard to get ovulation going again. And all those benefits of ovulation have been stopped for so long. So the first thing I do for people when they come to me is I do a birth control detox, and that takes about 8 weeks. And it takes 8 weeks because it's done slowly, so we don't get any side effects. And after that, I have a much better idea of what's actually the woman sitting in front of me, and not just what's a toxic buildup of synthetic hormones. Because when we have this buildup, as well as feeling really flat all the time, and women express that differently. They say, I'm no fun anymore. I don't laugh the way I used to. My husband tells me I'm no fun anymore. Or libido is just completely diminished. That's another way that birth control works. It flattens libido. or maybe they're getting hormonal headaches or breakthrough bleeding. There's lots of different reasons, lots of different ways that that birth control can affect us. So we get rid of all of that. And then we have this, we're starting with a fresh slate. So I always do, when people come to me for an appointment, I always say, please commit to two sessions. The first one is about detox and birth control, and also anything else that can affect hormones, like steroids. Somebody has been on a lot of steroids for maybe, you know, topical eczema or dermatitis or asthma. Somebody who's on, you know, those pumps, the inhalers, all of those things can inhibit hormones. So we get rid of all of that. And then the second consultation is like starting new. We're just dealing with the woman as she is now without all this buildup in her.
That makes a lot of sense.
And some people don't need any more than that. Some people, they're done after two consultations. And that could be after struggling with issues for 20 years. Just two consultations, 8 weeks apart, and they are feeling so much better in themselves. First thing that we notice is that flatness goes. And the second thing is usually the energy changes. So the energy comes up, they feel better in themselves.
And I can testify to that because I have seen how homeopathy works recently. Like, it really is amazing as a tool. And yeah, it has just turned around so many situations in my own household since I've come across it, and since your beautiful course that I just swear by it at this point. So, and I love what you mentioned about being able to speak to our daughters. So this works. So if you're coming and you're listening to this and you're like feeling the heaviness of not, and the grief of not having been educated properly when you were younger about all of these, and you're carrying all of the anger about it, maybe the shame about it within you, and I get that. It's really key to know that we are, when we come across this information, we become incredibly powerful because we are the people that can change that. So all of this that has been carried through generations, we can change it by getting this information and then passing it on. And this could be to your daughters if you have, and if you don't, to the people around you. That just simple act heals. Like I always say, that we're working for the seven generations ahead, not just for ourselves. So it's no coincidence that you're here listening to this today.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, our mothers were working with limited information as well. But we have access to so much more now, and we can make huge changes. My kids knew, and probably your girls knew as well from very, very early on about periods, and my son knew as well, because it's just as important, because he will be supporting women in his life who are going through these amazing changes every single day. It's not just every single month, it's every day, because we are so cyclical. And yeah, so even if you've had a terrible experience, and your mother had a terrible experience, and your grandmother had a terrible experience, that doesn't have to be your experience. It doesn't have to be our experience. You know, we can make changes, and connecting into our cycle is a really good way to do that. And we can do that by printing off a cycle tracker off the internet. They're round trackers. And if you print off three, so it looks like the spoke, it looks like the wheel of a bike, it looks like a pizza, you know, with slices in it. And you print off three of them. And if you start on day one, which is the first day you bleed, and if you don't have an actual period at the moment, maybe you're breastfeeding or pregnant or you've had a hysterectomy, then you can start with the first day of the full moon. And you can just, all you have to do is track on this wheel, track how you're feeling each day, track your energy levels, just how you're feeling in yourself, maybe libido if you want. And some people like to use colors, you know, say I feel really good on day 11, I feel great on day 15, and maybe do different colors for that, or maybe when the energy is low, use a different color. And when you have done 3 months of this, you'll see patterns. The same things are emerging every day. So you will always feel the same probably on day 11 of your cycle. That's coming up to ovulation. You'll probably feel pretty good. You'll probably always feel around the same. on day 20 of your cycle. You know, your mood is dipping, you're feeling a little bit more irritable, a little bit more short in yourself. And if we have this, and we're just connecting 2, 3 minutes every single night, connecting with our womb, just sit with your heart on your womb, maybe your heart, another heart, hand on your heart, and just listen in. What is my body saying today? How am I feeling? And just write it down. In 3 months' time, you have all this information about how you're feeling. And then you can start using that information to plan ahead. So say you're looking at your three charts and you're going, oh, look, I always feel really low on myself on day 21. Maybe on day 21, I won't be going to a party or I won't be organizing a big, I don't know, a big dinner at my house and inviting everybody. Or maybe I see, oh, on day 11, I always feel very good in myself. Maybe on day 11 next month, I'll start a new gym membership, or I'll start a new class, or I'll buy a new outfit for a big event that's coming up when I'm feeling really, really good in myself. It's power and it's information. And it's all there. It's all there for the taking and for the dipping into and getting all the help we need in our lives, instead of trying to push through the whole time and power through and doing things that we're really not able for. For example, in the beginning of our cycle, from about, well, just after our period, from maybe about day 7 to day 14, we are full of ideas. Our brain function changes and we've all these great ideas. And then that subsides a little bit. And then we go into, you know, different phases. But instead of trying to come up with ideas the whole way through the month, you know, when we're pushing ourselves just before our period to come up with new ideas, maybe for work or something, I don't know. If we can just leave that part of our lives to that particular part of our cycle where we operate best, we're saving ourselves so much time and energy. You know, we'll do double the work in that particular phase than we will at the end when we're dragging up ideas from nowhere. Or if we want to do lots of family stuff, if we do it around the middle of our cycle, just after we've ovulated, when it's kind of the mothering phase, and we just keep our big family stuff for around then, for, you know, the family dinners and the family parties. That's when we're most in our flow in that phase. We're most empathetic, we're most nurturing, we're most motherly. Instead of trying to do all these big family dinners maybe at the end of our cycle, when really we just want to crawl into a hole, you know, and be alone. That thing of pushing through, that's something that we need to share with our daughters as well, and that they need to respect their cycle and respect the wisdom of it and respect their body, so this thing isn't being carried on to the next generation as well.
Oh, it's so true and it's so practical what you just shared. I love that, and I resonate. Like, I know that if I try to write an episode of my podcast every week, so in a linear way, I know that when I get to the cycle week or the one before, I'm like, it's such an effort to find the words. It's not that I don't have topics, but to just put a sentence together is just really difficult. Where in that other phase that you mentioned, when we feel more inspired and there's more energy, I could write 20. So it actually, to respect and honor my own body and cycle, batch writing at that time, and then leave the other time for other things, which is a radical different way to go about it. We've been taught to ignore it, to push through, as you mentioned, to just be the same all the time, to be linear, which is a very masculine way of being, you know, from A to B in one line rather than in cycles. And when we get traumatized as children, we actually, that is a thing that is a common theme always for daughters of narcissistic mothers, we've got that connection with our intuition, our gut feeling, our inner knowing, our womb wisdom, that's kind of caught, is interrupted. And it's not that this is irreparable. This can always be reconnected through doing the inner work, the support of tools like homeopathy and everything like that. But when you start, as you suggested, Antoinette, when you start tracking your cycle and actually honoring it, and learning from it and getting that information, that is a really potent step to get back in contact with that inner knowing, intuition, and start knowing yourself and your identity, which is another thing that a narcissistic mother just hacks right out and doesn't want you to develop your own identity. So by doing that, you are taking a potent step. So I just wanted to put that in because that's really, really key, I know, for the audience listening in.
There's similar themes coming through. Like I'm talking about birth control and you're talking about narcissistic mothers, but we're still both talking about disconnect from ourselves and from our identity, aren't we?
Yes.
It's just, I don't have anything else to say on it. It's
No,
just
but
really
that's
interesting.
important. Yeah, it is. It's actually such an important theme. I don't want to just jump off topic, but I do want to mention this because I do remember that at the time when you did a class on this particular remedy, like I really felt such a deep connection with it. And we mentioned that earlier. You mentioned rose quartz, and then there was this other remedy that I remember when we were talking about being abused, and it was going kind of alongside if you felt kind of abused during labor, that was one thing. If you felt abused during your childhood, it did go alongside if you have experienced sexual abuse, which unfortunately the vast majority of women that have had maternal narcissistic abuse have then also suffered sexual abuse, and the two things are quite connected. So I just wanted to bring that in. I remember that Safi Zaghari was the remedy that she spoke to at the time, and that really was I don't know, just even listening about you to you speaking about it actually stirred so much in me. That healing came just from that, actually. So I just I want to hear from you on that.
So it's one of the many remedies for abuse as well, because I know sometimes people listen into things like this and they think, oh, this is, you know, this is going to fix all my problems. And then they get the remedy because you can order them online and it doesn't fix anything because they haven't had a consultation done or whatever. So, but Staphysagria is a flower remedy, and it is a member of the buttercup family. And it's a purple, bluey purple flower. And years ago, if you look back at folk medicine from years and years ago, we get a great idea of what these remedies can do, of what these plants and flowers can do when they're made into remedies. So many, many years ago, pharaohs used this. They crushed up the, I think it was the seeds of the Staphysagria flower, and they used it as a medicine for lice. So people who get lice all the time, and it could be somebody in school, they tend to have very poor boundaries. And you said somebody who's poor sense of identity from maybe a narcissistic mother, their boundaries aren't as strong as they can be. So they get this feeling of the body being invaded. And that's what Staphysagria is about. It's this sense of invasion or violation. So this can come about if you have, say, for example, a narcissistic mother, a mother who is putting you down constantly, comes about when there's an imbalance in power. So somebody else has power over us and they're able to say things to us. They're able to make us feel bad and we don't have the strength or the position to stand up for ourselves. And we take it all and we can go away afterwards and we're thinking about it, and it might come out in little bursts of anger, but generally the anger is pushed right down, and it can make the body more acidic, so the body can heat up and different things can happen. So we can get a lot of livery problems like headaches or even sore throats because we've kept everything, all those words that were trying to come up, that were bubbling up, that were just held here. And they can't get past that. So you could get throat issues, or you could get thyroid issues, or you could get a lot of heartburn or stomach issues or headaches. But we also see it quite a lot in cystitis. Maybe you're in a relationship and your partner wants to be intimate. You don't feel like being intimate, but you do it because you feel, well, you know, I should do this. And as soon as the act is over, you've got cystitis. Or maybe you've been for a mammogram. You didn't want to have this mammogram. It's a huge violation of your body. You're sore. You've been hurt from it. And you develop symptoms straight after is Staphysagria. Or maybe you're breastfeeding. And breastfeeding isn't going that great. Maybe the baby bites you. There's a poor latch. You want to do it. You feel you should do it. But there's this internal resentment going on. Then Staphysagria can help. At times like breastfeeding, giving birth, our child starting school, our child going away to college, it brings up a lot of stuff, a lot of memories of our own childhood and our own relationship with our mother, and especially breastfeeding. It stirs up memories of, well, I wasn't breastfed, or why wasn't I breastfed, and things that we would never be expecting to come up at that time. They do come back, and again, it's just for healing. It's just these things are brought to the surface. Staph Esagria can help with a lot of those things if everything matches. If the woman feels like, well, my voice has been suppressed, I've not been allowed to stand up for myself, I've been humiliated and abused and controlled, then Staph Esagria can help. But there can be so many ailments that come up from that. The most important thing with homeopathy is how the person is feeling, because it all starts here in the mind. All these emotions are processed in the body. They drop down into the body and they have to be processed there. The physical symptoms are really not as important as what's going on in the mind, what started all of this. Staph Esagria is gorgeous for animals who have been spayed or neutered as well, because that wasn't their idea. They didn't give consent, or somebody who has been picked on in school or has been belittled by the boss in front of everybody, or somebody who's been beaten up or maybe assaulted, right up to the big, big things like rape and all of that. It's a huge remedy in women's medicine, women's homeopathy.
And it's wonderful how it works. I love how within this system of healing, the emotionality and how the person is feeling has such an important aspect, because that's how in modern medicine and the regular traditional way of going about things, that's actually the last thing. Like, most of the time that's not even considered at all. And if you have any emotional issues in inverted brackets, well, then we give you some tablets to sort that, so that we can suppress and dampen that. And so what we're doing every time, and the pill is one example, but there's lots of other examples of that, we are suppressing the main information. We're actually cutting that. Again, we're going through that process of disconnection that we spoke about earlier. So we're disconnecting further, and everything that is feeling emotionally uncomfortable, intense, or challenging gets suppressed and is not used as the potent information that it is. Where, when what I gather by what you're saying and by listening to you teaching in the course and stuff, it's like the feelings that the person has are actually really important in understanding the overall situation, and then what remedies are going to be more appropriate and more effective.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned medicines like that, like antidepressants and anti-anxieties, because an awful lot of women are on them, a huge amount. And I didn't realize until maybe about 10 years ago when I really started treating more women in this area. Because, and you mentioned earlier as well, you weren't a nice person when you were taking birth control. The next step on from that is to give somebody, if a medicine like that is not agreeing, is give somebody antidepressants. Or if somebody has had a very traumatic experience, a very traumatic birth, it's put down as postnatal depression. So instead of dealing with the issue that, yeah, this person was treated very, very badly, now they have no support, their body is in bits, they feel very alone, they're traumatized, we'll give them antidepressants. We'll, instead of saying, the problem lies at society and your lack of support and maybe the medical model, we'll say, no, the problem is you. You're not able to cope with this, so we give you antidepressants. But it's all about suppression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite hard to talk about that sometimes. It's difficult. It's not a nice conversation, is it? It's not good to know, to realize what's happening, what's going on. But until we do, until we shed light on it and actually call it what it is, we can't do anything about it. Mm. And it is suppression, and it is abuse, and it's hidden trauma. And women are walking around every single day carrying all of this with no help and no guidance and no understanding, and just thinking, well, everybody else is able to deal with this stuff. There's something really wrong with me. I'm not able to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. And we don't want our daughters feeling that. And we talked about this before, Matilda, and we said, this ends here. It ends with us. It ends at this generation. Never again do we want women feeling like this, that there is something wrong with them because they're not able to handle everything that has been piled on top of them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I get angry about it.
I know, and that is it's what drives, and I know it's your drive as well, but it's what drives this work for me. It's like all of this that we're dealing with, and we are believing, we end up believing all of this conditioning that we are, there's something wrong with us, we're broken, and all of that, because along the line in within our childhood, that is the condition that we've received. You know, a child throwing a tantrum, it's inconvenient, it's annoying, it's a bad child, it's a difficult child, a child that cries a lot, it's a difficult baby, it's a challenging baby. And so we are already told from a very small age that actually we are the problem. And so then when we go forward in life as adults, we still believe that that is the case. So if all these professionals are telling us that we're the problem, it must be true, because we have that condition. So when we start reconnecting with ourselves, we start listening to our emotions, we start honoring our body and what our body is telling us, because our body has such wisdom. Our wombs, whether you have a womb or not, like that energy center has a lot of wisdom and has a lot of information for you to tap into. And there's ways to do that. I know you have on, I don't know, are they still there? You had some womb meditations on your YouTube channels at some point that were very, very powerful. And also, of course, any work that can be done. I know you've mentioned that you do one-on-one consultations, so I'm assuming that's something that is available ongoing even now.
Absolutely, yeah. And the womb meditations, I'll be getting more into those again in the winter when the energy changes again.
Yes.
But yeah, and just taking that time to connect. And we're talking about women being told that they're broken. This is hugely important in perimenopause. And women are told, well, your body isn't producing estrogen anymore, so there is there's this design flaw in your body. God made a mistake somewhere in designing women that they're not really able to continue on past the age of 45. So now we're going to have to supplement you with more synthetic hormones. And of course, there's nothing wrong with women's bodies. We're meant to change in our perimenopause. And this brings up, I'm treating a lot of women in perimenopause. And perimenopause is not just about physical and hormonal changes, it's a huge spiritual shift as we move into the second part of our lives. But again, that's been suppressed and controlled. If we're not allowed to experience that, and if we've been told that our frustration is something that's an internal thing, something wrong with us, and we need antidepressants, then we don't get the opportunity to make the changes that we need to make in our lives for like I said, the second part of our lives. So maybe we're really disgruntled in a relationship. Well, it's the HRT. Or maybe we're really annoyed at our kids because they won't move out of home. Well, HRT, you need HRT. Or maybe we're very, very anxious. Need HRT. So it's moving on from birth control onto HRT to keeping us medically managed, to keeping us suppressed and keeping us down. So we don't get to experience all the joys of perimenopause and menopause. And that's a real time of reclaiming ourselves. Of, our children are a little bit older now and they don't need us quite so much. So it's time to indulge our own creativity and our own fantasies and our own life again. And but that doesn't suit everybody to have all these middle-aged women suddenly go, oh, hang on, I'm free. I'm
And
just free.
powerful.
So keep them flattened and yeah, our menstrual wisdom, it's there. And just if people don't get anything else out of this podcast from me, from my end of it anyway, at least please go and start tracking your cycle. So important.
Get to know yourself, get to know your cycle intimately. Feel there's going to be shame coming up, there's going to be grief coming up, there's going to be all sorts of emotion coming up. If it's something that you haven't explored before and you start now, a lot of that will come up. Seek support on that, as in, you know, find women's circles that speak to that. Fine, go like get on a consultation with Antoinette if that's what you feel called to. go to anyone that you feel will resonate with where you are and can understand and hold space for the emotions that come up. But there's so much information held in those emotions, in all that you can figure out through that. A lot will change, and I definitely know that from experience and from working with many women. So, I'm going through all that we've been speaking to, and I love that you brought the perimenopause and the menopause. That actually, I think at one point we might come back and do a full episode just on that, because it is such a big topic. There's so much to be spoken to it, and there's so much conditioning and shame that goes on around that part, denial and all of that. So we can definitely speak loads to that, and I would love that if you're open to it.
Yeah, I'd love it. Yeah, I have
And
lots to say on that as
brilliant, brilliant. And so we have this speaking for around about an hour. And is there anything else that you feel that wants to come through that you haven't mentioned that you feel is important to mention before we close up?
I would say look at your birth control. If you're on birth control, do you actually need to be on birth control? Are you in a relationship or are you taking it because you've got very painful periods and you've been told this will fix your period? It won't fix your period. It'll throw the issue further down the line. That's all it'll do. It'll stop you ovulating. It'll stop you having a period. So have a look at that. And that's really big in itself. If you decide you want to stop birth control, there can be a few issues around that when hormones are a bit unbalanced afterwards. So maybe seek some help. Somebody like me can help. Somebody like Matilda, you can definitely help in women's circles as well. But there are other complementary therapies that help. Track your cycle. Even if you are on birth control, it'll help you to dip in more to your true feelings. So do that for about 3 months. Honestly, the information that you get will be huge. And lastly, I suppose you said to do the work and think about all this stuff and uncomfortable feelings can come up. And don't ever be afraid of uncomfortable feelings. They're only feelings, they're only stories. They can't hurt you now. They don't feel very nice, but they have a hugely important role to play in our health. And these are the things that we're pushing down into our wombs and into other organs in the body. And my goodness, so much better to have them up and out in the open and being able to think about them. And if you can't even talk about them, at least write them down, write down how you're feeling. But better to have it up here and out than stuck down deep in the body where they can just fester and they can mutate and turn into different things. So before they get that chance to really get a hold in the body, let them out. And yeah, and we deserve to spend time working on ourselves. You know, we have to think about that little girl, the inner child. We wouldn't be telling her to get up and get on with it. And everybody else is able to do this. We would be supporting her, and not belittling her for feeling how she's feeling, all these big feelings. So yeah, do give yourself permission to get help and to do some work on yourself. You deserve it because we have a long life left to go yet. And wouldn't it be lovely to leave a lot of this stuff behind and just move forward freer?
Oh, yes, that's major and beautiful, beautiful words.
And our kids are watching us do this, you know, without us ever saying anything. They can see what's going on. They know that, yeah, mom knows that she deserves better than this. Mom is working on herself. I should be doing the same as well when I'm that age. Or now, I should be doing this now.
Oh, the example that we said, how we can lead by
Yeah.
example, it's incredible. Absolutely. I know you have kids, I have kids. We see that every single day, like, and
Yeah.
it's all about where you're willing to go yourself, they won't be scared to go either. And the
Yeah,
trust
exactly.
that they're going to have with you is going to be amazing as a result of that. So.
Yeah. So there's no point in us saying to them, you have to love yourself and you have to respect yourself and you have to look after yourself. If they see us dragging ourselves along, not able to not able to look after ourselves, putting everybody else first. And that's a terrible mother trait that many of us have, looking after everybody else before ourselves. But there's so many people relying on us that we deserve, and we owe to them and we owe to ourselves to look after ourselves first. And that's really weird for mothers, you know, to look after their own needs first, but it's essential when we're looking after so many other people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As you say often when you're talking about emergency homeopathy, is like treat yourself as well as the people that are involved, and that's so true, and it really works. That was an absolutely wonderful conversation. I enjoyed so much. Powerful stuff has come out in this, so I really want to thank you, Antoinette, for bringing all of this wisdom in here. All your amazing experience. There's going to be the links to contact Antoinette in the description of the episode. So for anyone listening in that felt called to and inspired, you can reach out, you can ask questions, you can contact Antoinette, check out her website. I know you're on Instagram as well. So all of those links are going to be in the description and you can find it. And I know that your course is starting actually this week as the episode is being made live and available. So I know that's a little bit late possibly to sign up to your course now, but there's going to be courses that Antoinette is going to keep on running in the future. So if you're interested in learning more about homeopathy and how you can work with yourself in emergency cases, you can contact Antoinette and she will let you know when the next dates of the courses are on. With that said, I just want to thank everyone for listening, for your support as always. And again, feel free to ask questions, feel free to share your experience in the comment, in emails, either to me or to Antoinette. And thank you very much. And thank you, Antoinette, for being here.
Matilda, thanks so much. It's been great. I really enjoyed this. You can tell I love these conversations. I love when women sit in circle and we share this information. And thanks a million for having me on.
Thank you. Okay, bye everyone.